This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to get your $200 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Time, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Well, I'm holding on. Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fine. It's shocking, it's Friday and Hayden is late. As we get you closer to your weekend on this Friday, September 17th, how are we today? No thumbs from Hayden, again, because he's late. Cam, how are you?
I'm good. Great football action last night. More football this weekend. My boy balled out a little bit. He did what he needed to do. Shout out to Taylor Heinicke. Doing his thing.
Yeah.
Good enough.
Biggest Heinicke fan I know, Cam.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, to be honest. I mean, do kind of know the guy. But, yeah, great game. Had fun with that. Ready for the weekend. It's Friday.
It is Friday, another good primetime game. That's 3 of 4.
Yeah.
We've come down to walk-off game winners, so we've gotten some good action.
Absolutely. I love it. Thursday night games are usually the stinkers, too. So,
well,
yeah, I mean,
not,
it's not great. Yeah, it wasn't a great play all around, but
no,
it was a good game.
I thought the play was pretty good outside of, I mean, the Giants going full Giants and that drop touchdown by Slayton.
Yeah.
Like, my goodness.
That's, yeah.
Let's cut Slayton a little slack.
For
the ball
what?
The ball was overthrown.
Ball right in his hand.
He's wide open.
Yes.
Daniel just threw an airmail, just literally punt it to him.
Did you see
Daniel Jones
get drilled as he was throwing?
It bounced off his hands.
Did you see Daniel Jones get drilled as he was throwing the ball?
Yes, he was getting hit all night. Listen,
he put it right on the money.
It was a little overthrown.
No!
It was a little overthrown, yeah.
No! It was right on the money. It literally hit him in the hands.
I played receiver back in the day, John. And
just because you would have dropped it doesn't mean that an NFL professional receiver
should
drop
it. I'm just saying, he's absolutely 100% wide open. Daniel
yes.
Jones just has to put, if he just puts a little bit more air on it,
he
like
wasn't.
It's an easy catch. It was off his fingertips.
Happened.
It was a little tiny bit of an overthrow.
It wasn't.
Should he have caught it? Yes. Was it a perfect throw?
Was it a drop?
No.
Was it a drop? Like, again, I said he dropped the pass. Like, was it a drop? You're arguing about it not being a drop. Was it a drop?
I would consider it a drop.
Then what are you arguing about?
I'm arguing that it wasn't a perfect throw. It was,
I mean,
it was
95% pretty good. It wasn't
100. A little overthrow. That's all I'm saying.
I would say that's about as good as anybody who could throw that with a pass rush in his face that was getting there before the wide receiver was, quote, wide open. It was a damn dime from Danny. It was reminiscent, like, Daniel Jones loses again in primetime.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a little Kirk Cousins streak going here where he is, I believe, 0-7 in primetime, where he is close to setting the record, and their next primetime game is on a Monday night in Arrowhead to play Patrick Mahomes.
Oh,
so
no.
Go ahead and pencil him in for number 8. But that game felt eerily similar. What was the game last year the Giants were in? Maybe it was 2 years ago. Or it was Evan Engram who dropped that.
Oh, that was the Eagles last year.
Eagles?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Where Evan Engram drops a pass right in his hands that would have sealed the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happened last night. Different, you know, game clock situation. Engram catches that ball, they run the clock out and win. Instead, he drops it, they lose. Slayton catches that pass last night. They go up 10 with about 7 minutes left and most likely win that game.
Let's not completely just blame Slayton in just that one play.
Oh, no, no.
Joe Judge was awful. It's like they, it's funny, like, you know, they continue to show the coaches on the sideline. They'll have those, you know, little, you know, clips before the snap, whatever, where they're kind of showing them. It's like they show Jason Garrett more than they show Joe Judge. Like, I remember seeing Garrett a lot more than I remember seeing Joe Judge in last night's broadcast.
I don't remember seeing Jason Garrett at all. Now, you know, in between plays, you know, I was probably checking my phone and such, but, like, I saw Joe Judge many times. I didn't see Jason Garrett once.
Really?
At least I can think back to.
They showed Garrett a little bit.
I'm sure they did, but I can't remember one. Maybe it was just Joe Judge in the last, like, 5 minutes of the game. They showed him nonstop then, him yelling at the refs.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, him yelling.
Calling timeouts.
What a brutal offsides. I don't understand how you could jump offsides on a field goal.
Like, I mean, I get if you're coming off the corner, but not, like, right there next to the ball.
Like, what's he going to do?
Where you can't even hit the center. Like,
yeah, you can't do anything. I mean, you're basically useless.
That was bad. They had another offsides that helped, you know, Washington get an extra 5 yards and stop the clock with about, I think it was 38 seconds left, 39 seconds left. I thought that, you know, they come out of a timeout with 13 men on the field. It was a Washington timeout. They come out with 13 men on the field and have to call another timeout.
Yep. They did that. They had a delay of game out of a timeout, basically. Yeah. I mean, it was like
They had one where they had a timeout and then, you know, had an immediate back-to-back false starts that, you know, turned into third and 15 before Jones was able to scramble back into field goal range. And, my goodness, Graham Gonneau, unconscious from deep, drilled that 55-yard to put him back up six before Heinicke scored in two plays. But still, it was a fun game, like I said. Another good NFL primetime game. I was going to say, Cam, don't get too excited about the Thursday night games. I don't know if you've seen the next couple weeks of the schedule.
Yeah, I did. It's not great, but maybe we get close ones.
I was going to say, maybe some fun matchups.
Next Thursday is what? Carolina at Houston. Then we get Jacksonville at Cincinnati, which, I mean, you could sell me on Jacksonville at Cincinnati just simply of, like, look at the train wreck that is Urban Meyer. But, hey, watch Trevor Lawrence against Joe Burrow, the last two number one picks. Week five. October 7th.
Is that Seahawks, Rams?
Rams at Seahawks. Yep. We'll get a good one there. Okay. So we'll get back on track after a couple bad weeks. But
still feeling good about that Washington football team, John? I'm curious. I mean,
Taylor Heinicke looks like the best quarterback in the NFC East.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Easy.
He's got to win.
Easy.
Game-winning drive.
It's about winning. It's about winning. He won. Just him and Jalen Hurts, I guess, maybe. Yeah. I guess Jalen Hurts has got to win.
Huh.
I thought Daniel Jones looked pretty good, too.
I think Washington's defense completely overrated. I mean, the Giants have an offensive lineman get hurt during the game. They're already a makeshift offensive line anyways, moving guys around from center to guard, from guard to tackle, whatever. And Washington literally could not touch Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell Jack Del Rio is doing. I get you have a good defensive line, but, bro, sometimes you got to send a little, you know. They were effective when they would send an extra guy. Like, just because you have a good defensive line doesn't mean you don't have to blitz ever. Like, it seemed to be effective when they would send another blitzer to kind of confuse the pickups.
Overrated
with that, defensive
line.
Like you said, they shuffled their offensive line around. I feel like that's the time you kind of want to do some sort of switching around.
And then again, like, they're down three with, like, 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. It's third and 15. The crowd's rocking. He's like, hey, I'm going to just drop everyone back into coverage, and we're going to have, like, a really lazy three-man rush. Let Jones scramble for 12 yards, and then they're going to let him kick a field goal to go back up six. I'm just like, what are you doing? I don't understand it. No, Jack Del Rio makes me a little nervous as the defensive coordinator. I know he was there last year, but that looked like a bad game plan. I didn't watch, you know, much of the Chargers game. I don't know how they looked there. I mean, Herbert had good numbers. He had some bad drops, too. So, like, they haven't affected quarterbacks.
They had a couple of crazy turnovers in that game. The strip. They had, I want to say, two red zone turnovers, or at least
Washington
where they were.
Forced two?
Yeah, they forced two, yeah. Which were both kind of just bad plays by Herbert.
Gotcha. I didn't see any of the game, but.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, yeah, Washington's defense hasn't been, you know, through the first 2 weeks as good as they were supposed to be. Now, short week, give them a little bit of a pass, and, you know, maybe they can figure it out. But I do think they're going to have to send some help and send some pressure because their secondary can't guard anybody. Like, every Giants receiver was wide open. Sterling Shepard was open every time. I was going to say Galladay was open, but they weren't connecting. Then he's yelling at Daniel Jones after the game. But I thought Daniel Jones played pretty well. But that was a game Washington had to win. But No, I probably don't feel very good about their division chances unless, you know, Taylor Heinicke just does a full Tony Romo and is just really good and elevates that offense. I did think Washington's offense looked pretty good, though.
Yeah, if they can get Gibson going, they'll be looking right.
I do think they have a pretty good offense. There are a few better indicators of the different era of football we are currently in than watching last night Taylor Heinicke throw every single pass high across the middle and no one getting decapitated. Like 8 years ago, even. Like, those guys are getting knocked out and stretchered off. Poor yep. Taylor McLaurin would have been in the ICU.
Yep.
Instead, like, you have Adam Humphries feeling comfortable going across the middle, jumping. McLaurin barely got touched. Like, I will say I thought Washington had some pretty good weapons. Now we'll see. Adam Humphries is probably going to get hurt at some point and be out.
As is tradition.
Yeah, yeah. He's got the whole Brandon Stokley, Wes Welker thing going on of a white slot receiver that's taking too many hits. So at some point he is going to go out. But if Heinicke can keep those passes like 2 yards a little bit lower, like, I think they have a pretty good offense. I like Gibson. They didn't give him the ball enough, but he ran well. I think McKissick is a pretty good weapon. And, you know, McLaurin is one of the better young receivers in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Logan Thomas has kind of morphed into being one of the best tight ends in the league, at least like number six or seven, right? I mean, he's borderline top five.
Absolutely.
Which is good for him because, I mean, he's a terrible quarterback. So yeah. Good for him that he's getting to play football and has made a pretty successful transition to tight end. Now, the offensive line, not sold on the offensive line. They were getting, you know, the Giants were getting some pressure on them early, although they did kind of figure it out as the game went on. But no, don't feel as good about Washington winning the division. Maybe I'll switch my pick to the Eagles.
Yeah. Yeah.
After the Eagles beat up on the terrible Falcons. I get it. I get the hype.
Okay. I mean, the Giants are 0-2. The Cowboys are, I mean, did we not just open the show yesterday about how snake bitten the Cowboys are and how it's like an uphill battle to climb with all these injuries and COVID?
Yeah,
so
poor Cowboys.
Why the hell would I pick the Cowboys if they're snake bitten and everything's going to go wrong? You said it, not me. I mean, you opened the show yesterday.
Yes,
with it.
I know. I'm just, again.
So why do you feel slighted that I'm not picking the Cowboys? Like,
because these other teams are terrible. These other teams are not good. Like, if the Eagles beat the Niners Sunday, yeah, okay, I'll start to maybe think that they're a pretty decent team. But until then, those two teams last night were not very good. Washington's defense, like I said, completely overrated. Joe Judge can't coach. He's a terrible coach. They got terrible coaches all over that sideline. Like, these two teams are not good. If you want to buy into the Eagles now, go ahead. But I'd wait. I'd wait a couple weeks.
I am waiting. I'm waiting.
But the Cowboys are the unluckiest team ever.
Well, they are. I mean, again, I was just saying the facts. Now, do I think they're still going to lose Sunday? No, I think we can still beat the Chargers, despite all the guys that are out. I was going to say the rally.
Those scrappy Cowboy underdogs. They maybe can go to L.A. and get a big road win against the Chargers. Maybe.
That would be a big road win. What are you trying to downplay it?
Yeah, the 7-9 Chargers would be a big win to go in there and beat them. Yeah.
You just talk about how crappy Washington was, and they barely just beat.
Who eked out a win over Washington, who sucks. It'd be a big, big win if the Cowboys could go on the road and beat the Chargers. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I don't see anything wrong with what you're saying. I do think it'd be a bit.
Washington can't suck, and the Chargers can't barely beat them, and then the Cowboys beat them.
I just told you they had like two red zone turnovers. That game could have been easily a blowout. It could have easily been a blowout. It's true.
The Falcons could have won up 28-3.
Same thing. The Cowboys could have gotten blown out if they didn't force turnovers against the Bucs, and then we'd be sitting here saying different things. I mean, you see how this works? It goes around and around in circles. That's it.
Okay. Yeah. Put all your eggs in the Eagles basket.
I'm not putting my eggs in the Eagles basket.
Let me know how it goes.
I don't know who to take in that division.
Eagles
right
have
now.
Nest, not baskets, by the way.
I guess you're right.
They do have eggs, though, so it works.
Yeah, yeah, it does
I'll
work.
I'll allow it. I mean, no. I mean, I feel honestly, I feel like the Giants are pretty good.
Jones is running, man.
Well, I mean, like, comparatively speaking to the rest of the division, like, it sucks that they're 0-2 for the fifth straight year and 8 of the last 9 years, they are 0-2.
That's unreal. That is unreal.
They are 18-48 since Odell Beckham took all the boys down on the boat before a playoff game, which is coincidentally enough, basically Odell Beckham's stat line, 18 catches for about 48 yards since that picture as well.
Yeah.
I did think the Giants were pretty good on offense, but their offensive line will give it out before the end of the year, and you know, Jones maybe just plays the best game of his career against Washington. So, no, you know, I'm not taking them, but got to see more about the Eagles. We'll see. Want to see what this Cowboys defense looks like. Want to see what their offense looks like again. Washington, I'll give them time to figure it out. I'm not riding that defensive line just off just yet. They got to blitz a little bit more, though. Like, hey, yeah. you can't just be out here with your secondary allowing those guys to run around. Like, because, I mean, what happened was if Chase Young didn't create pressure, like, they had, you know, 5 seconds to throw it in. Those guys were open.
Yep.
I would constantly be sending a fifth guy. Constantly, if I was Jack Del Rio, but I am not. So you came out last night feeling better, I guess, is what you're trying to say?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I don't think you would have felt worse had they, when I say they, Washington, had they dominated the Giants, you would have came in saying the Giants suck, so what's it matter? So I don't think, last night would have done anything for you either way.
Might be right.
Yeah, I usually am. We're off and running in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Welcome Hayden Wallen to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios.
Yeah!
We love to see it. White Claw is available in 16 deliciously refreshing flavors and is made from a blend of seltzer water, a gluten-free alcohol base, and a hint of fruit flavors. Only 100 calories. If you're going to the Tennessee Tech game, if you're going to be watching it, you might need some of it. Please drink responsibly. We appreciate White Claw and Cherokee Distributing for their support. Cam, send us to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Apex Pest Control is your complete pest management company right here in Knoxville. Residential or commercial, they've got you covered. They're doing both my home and business right now. It's reliable pest control from general pests to termites, bed bugs, biting insects, mosquitoes. They've got you covered here in Knoxville. Give them a call, 865-591-2781, or head on over to pestcontrolknoxvilletn.com or just search for Apex Pest Control, your complete pest management company.
So you're watching the game and you see another ad for FanDuel Sportsbook and you think to yourself, is that legal here in Tennessee? You bet it is. FanDuel Sportsbook is now legal in Tennessee and you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Seriously, there's no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit so you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and exhilarating bet types such as same-game parlays where you can buy multiple bets from one game into one single parlay. And once you win on FanDuel, you get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. To claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code TALKSPORTS so they know that we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code TALKSPORTS. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is a non problem. Require 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Small businesses are struggling right now as we shift to more online sales and marketing. Smarter Searches, a locally owned and operated digital marketing agency, is working with businesses right now to help get them set up for the changes since COVID-19. From building websites with e-commerce and selling on social media to helping you stand out on Google and coming up with ideas for virtual events, they have the experience to help your small business thrive as the world changes. Visit SmarterSearches.com for more information on how they can give you the tools to succeed, train your team, and make your website smarter.
Since 1953, Matlock Tire and Auto...
Welcome to the show, Hayden Wallen, who has come in here yapping about his bad 24 hours, but also saying he's about to go 15-0. That's right, you heard it right. 15-0 in his gambling picks that we will make later in the show. 15-0, he's saying. He's got 11 college football games for you and 4 NFL games. All right.
11. 11 college picks.
Just seeing the board, really.
Is Ty Nakishi any good?
Who?
Oh, the Cowboys back. He's their swing tackle.
He's not any good.
So, I mean,
do you not
backup
with
tackle.
A.L. Collins out?
They have Terrence Steele, okay, who's starting. So he's the backup.
Did you see that he's out this weekend?
Yeah, I did.
After going to the hospital with heat exhaustion?
Yeah, I don't know what
that is. What are you guys doing in Dallas?
Putting him to work down there.
What are you guys
Man
doing?
Man is a professional at running around in the heat. Okay.
It gets hot out there sometimes, man.
I guess. Sure.
Is it Mike Loxley that killed that guy at Maryland? Was that the guy who did it? Oh, DJ Durkin. Is that it? Yeah.
Lane Kiffin's defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And they do look like killers on defense so far this season.
I thought you were making like a Mike Oxley joke, and I was like, is that one of those things that I'm supposed to listen to?
Is that the coach now?
Appropriate name? Yeah, I think it's like Oxley, not Oxley. And I was like, oh, yeah, it sounded a little weird to me.
Mike Oxlong?
Yeah, like exactly. Yeah, I thought you were trying to slide one of those in on me, and I was like, I don't really want that one slid in on me, so I'm good. Draven, what's the big story right now, just as we just get set? I mean, is it just the Giants being full Giants last night?
I would say so.
They now have the most losses in the NFL since 2017.
Nice.
Nice suck.
That includes the season where the Cleveland Browns went 0-16. They are terrible. Like, you do feel bad for them a little bit. Like, they got their two Super Bowls, but outside of those two Super Bowl years, they've been pretty bad pretty consistently for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you do get two Super Bowls.
Think it's worth it for Giants fans?
How many Super Bowls do they have total? Three or four?
I would say they have, from they the have 80s. At least four. I mean, Parcells got four. Parcells got two.
Okay.
You won in the they beat Buffalo in the early 90s, right? And they won in the 80s, like 83, I think. Something like
yeah,
that.
They beat the was it the Bengals they beat maybe in 83? Yeah. Or the Chargers? No, not the Chargers. Was it the Bengals? I want to say it was the Bengals.
The Bengals won in the late 80s. Pretty sure.
Yeah. Pretty sure they lost in 83, right? Is that right or no?
They do have four. Don't have the
okay, years. Never mind. But either way, like, well, that's always like the hypothetical, right? Would you give up a championship? Would you take a championship for 40 years of mediocrity or never winning another championship? Like, the Giants have been living it. They got their two Super Bowls. And honestly, one of those is maybe the best Super Bowl win of all time. Maybe.
What, the 2007?
That's one of the best Super Bowl wins of all time.
Best Super Bowl, best Super Bowl upset, maybe. I don't know.
It's one of the best wins, beating an 18-0 team. That is one of the best wins. It was Denver they beat in 87. And was there another one there?
They beat
won?
The Bills in 91. They only had four. Okay. Yeah, they beat the Bills in four falls to Buffalo.
Okay. But yes, you don't think beating that undefeated Patriots team?
He just doesn't want to get the Giants credit.
I guess. I mean,
the helmet catch, like, yeah, that was literally, like, awesome ending.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's, like, a hot take at all. Like, I mean, that's one of the best Super Bowl wins of all time, being an undefeated team as 14-point underdogs.
Is that how big it was for that Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Man.
That Patriots team was blitzing everybody, just killing everybody.
I think it's just more cool, even like with Brady a few weeks ago. Didn't he say that he would trade two rings in for just that one win?
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised it's only two. Like, yeah. I mean, like, there would be a lot of, you know, Brady's got seven, so maybe he can, like, trade in a couple. But, I mean, like, being the quarterback of a 19-0 team, like, you go down as the best team of all time. Like, unquestioned.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, maybe they still are the best team of all time, and, like, hey, they had one bad game and ran into a bad team that night, but they can't make that claim because you lost the Super Bowl. So now, like, I mean, best team of all time, I guess in the NFL, we kind of go default like 85 Bears, right, just because of their defense. Like, I feel like they kind of get that rub. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's somebody else in between, but.
Well, I mean, the Dolphins are the only team that ever has won to defeat them.
Sure, but I mean,
like in the playoffs, too.
Right. I just don't know if, like, I never really hear people call them the best team of all time.
Probably a different NFL era back then with the talent and stuff.
They won
their
Super Bowl 14-7. Like,
yeah.
Did they?
Yeah, I mean.
What a game.
Were the goalposts still at the front of the end zone back then?
I don't know, bro. I wasn't alive.
But that's how it used to be, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, hey, this is actually, like, dangerous.
Wonder when they finally figure that out.
Somebody probably was running, like, a pick route around.
Canada likes to live life on the edge.
Knocked
huh?
out.
Yeah. Canada still does it. They like tradition. I don't know. But, I mean, that's what everyone always argues, right? Would you trade, you know, X amount of years for a championship? The Giants have been living it, and they have been pretty much a train wreck ever since. Although last night, I mean, do you come out if you're the Giants? I mean, you're laughing at yourselves because you are, like, just now the typical team that's going to find a way to lose, which is the worst space to be in. Like, Tennessee is kind of there in college. Like, find a way to lose, like, in dramatic fashion. Find a way to be made fun of.
Making up new ways to lose. You know, just the offsides on a field goal, stuff like that.
How are you offsides on a field goal if you're Joe Judge and you are a special teams coach?
I was going to say that.
Yep.
Like, you coach special teams at, I mean, the two most dominant, franchises / organizations in football history. Alabama under Nick Saban and the Patriots under Bill Belichick. You were good enough to coach special teams for them, and yet you come out here and you lose the game because of special teams. For as good as the Giants have been, they have two double-digit win seasons since 2009. They got Super Bowl in there. They won the Super Bowl again, it's 9-7, but they have two double-digit win seasons. And outside of the Super Bowl year, they have zero playoff wins. Since the Super Bowl win in 2011, they have one playoff appearance. Sheesh. They went 11-5 and then took the pitcher on the party boat and lost to the Packers, and Odell Beckham's career ended. So it's been a pretty futile decade for them since the Super Bowl in 2011.
Well, they're not going to get anywhere with Daniel Jones. I'll tell you that much. I don't think anything's going to change with Daniel Jones. Like, you really think he's the savior of this franchise?
Well, I won't call him a savior by any means.
Well, that's what they need. They have one winning season since 2009.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to fix them. I mean, I don't think Daniel Jones is a savior, but I didn't think Daniel Jones was the problem last night. He looked like a pretty good quarterback to me last night.
That was probably, maybe one of the better games of his career? Too far to say? I mean,
I would find it hard for him to have had a better one. Now, maybe, like, statistically, you can look and say, like, yeah, he had X amount of yards.
Right.
Whatever. But, I mean, no turnovers for Daniel Jones. Didn't even put the ball on the ground once. He's a known fumbler. You know, he has so many turnovers since coming in the league. Took care of the ball. Now, if, you know, Slayton catches that pass, and instead of 249 yards, he has 280 yards with two touchdowns, like, and they win the game, then
rushing touchdown.
Yeah, it looks a hell of a lot better. And then you had in 95 yards rushing. Mm-hmm.
And if he gets that other rushing touchdown, they got called back.
That was such a terrible call. That was not holding. What kind of call was that?
I mean, I feel like you're going to get holding every time, like when the referee's running on the sidelines and he can literally see the jersey being pulled out. I know it didn't affect the play. It really didn't.
It didn't.
But, like, every time he's going to see that, he's going to throw the flag, like, every single time.
I don't want to age shame, but I've really been thinking about it the last week, you know, ever since the Tennessee game, the Tennessee-Pittsburgh game where they couldn't get the ball properly spotted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we not have younger officials?
Yeah, there should be a cap.
I mean, I don't even say a cap. Whatever. I don't want to, like, get into age discrimination lawsuits and all that. Like, I do think maybe, like, driving, there should be, like, some tests, maybe semi-annually.
Yeah.
After 65, like, hey, let's just make sure you're staying up on your cognitive abilities over here. Let's make sure you're not slipping, because I do think at a certain age, you're going to start slipping, and maybe, like, you having your driver's license at 16 doesn't mean that you are going to be able to drive at 75. It does seem kind of weird that we don't have to check back in and be like, hey, can you still do this? You still good at driving? Like, can you at least count to 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1? Can you do that on your fingers for us? Do some balancing. I don't know. Maybe give them a sobriety test. Whatever you got to do. But I'm surprised we don't, like, prioritize younger officiating in football.
Yeah.
Isn't, like, one of the requirements that you have – is there, like, a physical test? I'm pretty sure there is. Like,
I mean, again, these guys seem to be in shape in terms of, like, having the, you know, the heart stamina. But, like, you know, that ref running down the sideline, you just made me think of it. Like, I mean, he can't possibly run – with these world-class athletes, but also, like, making judgments, like, of, oh, is this holding? I don't know. Seems like it'd be better suited for, like, a 25-year-old, like, guy who is a former D1 athlete or a track star or something. Like, I don't know what incentivizes people to get in. Like, maybe there's just not enough time, like, maybe there's not enough time training-wise. I don't know. But the guy, you know, for the Pittsburgh game, he was just not in the right position.
Yeah.
He was nowhere to be found. Like, they had to bring a guy from the other side of the field, and, like, the guy couldn't keep up with the pace of play. Especially in college, where they're going so fast and trying to get the ball spotted and everything. Like, it just seems – I'm surprised that we haven't made, like, a real initiative to make it a younger man's game. We do have Baby Hockley out there. He's in prime shape. He's younger. He's second generation, at least. I don't know if Grandpa Hockley was also an official, but
– I mean, how much do they get paid? Like, is it even, like
– well, they had the whole refs, right? I don't know if you remember that. Like,
The scabs.
Yeah, like, I don't know how much they actually get paid, but they made, like, a year-round job now. Like, before then, it wasn't even a year-round job, which was – crazy because it's a billion-dollar industry. If you are affecting the outcome of billion-dollar industry, like, you should maybe be a full-time employee.
It was like a week-to-week thing.
I wouldn't say it was a week-to-week thing, but it's like they were
seasonal.
Maybe more like seasonal. Like, they weren't like pensions. Like, they didn't get like the right amount of pensions and insurance. Like, some of them didn't. That's what the strike I think was over.
Yeah, one of my friends in high school, his dad was a referee for like high school and like smaller college, like Division II, Division III stuff, and like it was like kind of like a week to week thing, and I don't think they got paid like that much. Obviously, it's different than NFL, but it's they just put them together. I don't know how far advanced the games are, but
sure. And I mean, like, different levels. You know, obviously, like, high schools can't pay a lot with these officials, and you kind of got to work your way up. And some colleges can't pay you enough. I understand that, but like in the NFL, like, you know, again, it's a $1 billion industry, and maybe we see that movement the further along we get, because, like, we have went ahead and said, hey, we are all in on this gambling stuff. So now, like, we're acknowledging that these calls are affecting people's money. Like, before then, they kind of had to act like it wasn't. Like, hey, it's just wins and losses. But, like, now, like, you're telling everybody we got to gamble. Gamble, gamble, gamble. Now we got to make sure our officiating is better than ever, is what you would think the initiative would be.
Yep.
NFL refs make $205,000 a year.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Sign me up.
But is there like an academy? Really. Like, I'm coming at this pretty ignorant, I guess. But like, is there like an academy?
I'm not sure.
Do you have to have maybe experience previously?
I think you have to like work your way up.
That seems
like,
wrong.
Where would you start out? Just like doing preseason games?
Well, I'm pretty sure
something?
Like in college, under like the example I just mentioned, like he was trying to work his way up to like the SoCon or whatever.
No,
and then like.
Sure. I know, I get that, but by the time you make it to the big leagues, you're going to be 55 years old.
Which is why probably all the refs are 55 years old.
Sure. Like, it seems like it should be something that they have an academy.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to give you three years of training, whatever we have to do. Like, we're going to put you in a program when you're
3 years of training for a referee? What are we?
I mean, I'm saying
that seems a little extreme. I mean, that seems a little extreme for 3 years.
I mean, 3 years. Go to college for 4 years to be a damn journalist. What are you talking about?
Well, yeah, I get that.
How's that
like,
any different? Like,
you get paid more money to be a referee.
You go to college.
I just don't think there's that much like studying or
Cops
details. What are you going to be teaching in classes in year three of referee class?
I'm saying I'm rethinking this. I'm not thinking about people learning on the job and working their way up. I'm taking people college age. We're going to put you in there. We're going to teach you the NFL rule book front and back. Then we're going to get you out calling games, scrimmages, whatever you have to do. I don't think you can drop somebody in 6 months and have them ready to officiate an NFL game. I don't think you can.
John, this
get them doing the preseason games or something like that, Hall of Fame game.
I don't think you can do that within a year. You gotta know the whole damn rule book. Like, you have to know how things work. Like, again, these guys, you're laughing at 3 years, but I would say most NFL officials are 20 years in before they're refs in the NFL.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or maybe not 20
years,
but, you know, 10 or 15 at least. So, like.
Well, but my thing is, like, what is this going to fix? They're going to do this ref academy, and then we're still going to have controversial calls at the end of games. We're still going to have calls where it's subjective, and the ref calls something, and people are going
to
look at it differently. That just happens, man.
Not to age shame, but I'd feel much better if I was saw a guy that looked like
he could be playing.
If he looked like he should be playing and he could chase these guys down and looks like he's in the right position, I would feel much more confident than him than having a 65, 70-year-old coming up there and making the call. Is my mic on? And I'm gonna, you know, I've already said it, I've tweeted it out, but my rules here, they go to Washington as well. They go to the White House, they go to Congress, they go to the Senate. We've got all these 75-year-olds running the world around here, and I just think, you know, at a certain point, you gotta start doing these tests to make sure their cognitive ability is up to snuff. If they pass, I'm not kicking you out, you can still do it, but hey, you ever stop and think, like, hey, we got 77, 75, 73-year-olds making all these decisions for the country? I mean, they're not most well equipped.
If it's a 20-year-old, you're just going to be saying, what's this kid making this call with no experience? He doesn't have it. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's not ref as long as these other guys.
Why don't you go to college then? Why don't you go straight into the workforce then? If you didn't think there was any training to go to college. You're acting like you can't learn stuff with
it. It's refereeing. What are you talking? It's a referee.
It's a multi-billion dollar operation.
We're talking about a referee. 3 years of school for a referee.
3 years of training.
And we're still going to have nonsense holding calls. Yeah, people are still going to find a way to complain. If anything, it'd piss me off even more if they had some BS call. And I'm thinking, man, those guys, after all this training, after all these years of trying to get these guys ready, they still make bogus calls.
What are you on the record for? Like saying refereeing is good, or you're just like, it sucks.
He's
but
saying they don't need training.
It. Like, what are you on the record saying? Like,
I don't think the officiating is awful. I don't think it's terrible. There's nothing I'm going to complain about. Yeah, there's missed calls. That's football. We've been dealing with that for decades, man. Okay. You going to tell me I'm wrong?
I think if you're going to tell me we've been dealing with something for a decade, that's like the most boomer take of, oh, it's tradition. We had never played these college athletes.
It's not going to fix anything, though. That's my point. It's not going to change. It's not going to fix anything.
College athletes, nothing is tradition.
You could train these refs all you want. These
women
calls are
voting.
A lot of these calls are subjective.
You're gonna
disagree that some of these calls are just subjective. Sometimes it's just a ref sees it differently than somebody watching the TV or than the next ref, and a ref is gonna call this, and a ref's not gonna call that. That's just how it goes.
I hear. I understand what you're saying.
You hear coaches talking about this, like they say, like, "Hey, we just want consistency because we know sometimes this ref, this crew, they call the holding calls a lot more. But if you're gonna do that, like, just stay consistent."
Thank you for telling me about officiating. I would simply say that, like, I think in every instance, I would want the people making decisions to be the best equipped for it. That's all I'm saying.
You think you could call an NFL game right now,
John? No, I don't think I could call an NFL game right now. No, what are you talking about? Do you?
No, I mean.
No,
you
I
do
can't.
Know the rules, though.
I just said 3 years.
I think I could.
You know the rules, though.
You could not. Don't even kid yourself, Draven. No way.
I mean, I do feel like I have a pretty good rule, a grasp on most of the rules. Most of them.
Which one's the easiest spot, you think? Now, I wouldn't want to be the umpire, though.
Now,
what I will say is
I learned over the weekend, like, I have, I guess, a much better grasp on the rules than most people, because we had people thinking that we should have a touchdown on offsetting penalties after a block in the back of the field goal. Where people are like, I thought offsetting penalties just meant the play stands. Like, no, guys, it doesn't.
People are literally losing their minds in the student section. That's my number one pet peeve in the student section is when people literally just talk and, like, yell the whole time and have no idea what they're talking about. And the guy behind me was being so annoying. He was talking about, like, the Tasmanian devil the entire game. He was like trying to be funny. Like, he was like Mr. Jokes up there. I'm like, shut up. Like, stop doing that. He's like, blah, 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 after every single play. And then he's like talking about it. He's like, oh, that's too much. I'm down right there. Blah, blah, blah. Ugh, God. She brought it back, John. Thank you.
I got a couple officials that listen to the show, so let me see. Okay, let's go here. Let's see. So one guy says, Draven has had some dumb takes, but him laughing at guys learning how to officiate for 3 years is freaking dumb.
Okay.
Credit to him for saying freaking, since we're on the radio. You never know if you text somebody something. Smart. It takes so long to become proficient. The NFL guys are the best in the world. We got another official who listens, says they do have programs trying to target younger officials in D1, trying to help fast-track them to the upper levels.
That's
where the NFL will typically pick people from. So they are, I guess, trying to do this.
Okay.
Points out that the back judge in the Tennessee Pitt game was 31. The person in question on the spot isn't very old either. He said probably late 40s. I couldn't see him. He wasn't in the screen. I didn't see how old that guy was. He looked like he was struggling to get in position. He came from the other side of the field. He looked older than 41. But appreciate the insight, and you're right, that was a really dumb take for Draven. I agree. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's start sticking these refs in 4 years
like
of school.
Time.
Let's go ahead. Go ahead. 4 years of school for these refs. That's going to really make people want to be a ref more, I'm sure.
Yeah.
After they have to sit there for 4 years of school.
Again, you went to college for 4 years for what reason?
But
not to get a job that makes $205,000 coming out of it.
But
no, nobody grows up wanting to be a referee.
People
want to grow up talking football. People want to grow up covering sports.
Exactly,
nobody wants to grow up literally trying to be a referee.
That's why we're starting them early.
There's a big difference.
That's why we're starting them early. We might even get into the junior high levels.
You've never seen people dressed up as like a ref for Halloween or anything? I've seen that.
Yeah.
Usually they put on sunglasses and act like they're blind.
But John, wouldn't you say that?
I have some regrets. I wish somebody would have got me on the fast track when I was like 12 being a referee.
I would
have
done that, yeah. You get to watch football.
TV
and get paid
time,
for it.
TV time.
Get death threats. People messaging you, emailing you, DMing you.
I can take a death threat.
Raheem Mostert said that he got them too, so like players get them as well.
Yeah.
I've gotten death threats. People threaten to kill me. I just don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But wouldn't you say you go to college, though, like that, there's an infinite amount of knowledge out there. Like the NFL's like it's just the rule book. Like.
You act like the rule book
it's
is
pretty,
this,
it's pretty, like,
this unbelievable complicated thing.
You act like you're going to be able to like keep up with the action and know where you're supposed to look and judge that.
I'm not saying I can't. I'm just saying 3 years sounds like a long time.
It's not just 3 years of studying. It's like any internship. It's like law school. First year, you learn the rules. Second year, you go to court. Third year, you're working at a clerk's office. Whatever the hell it is. I don't know. I didn't go to law school. But like it's a three-step process.
Well, I thought what you meant was just like they're going to be sitting in like some like training facility where they're just running around and then just like –
Like,
from 8 to 12, we're like, read it, like, this certain rule and stuff. And then from 12 to 4, we're going to sit out there and run 40-yard dashes and, like, blow the whistle.
I think there needs to be a fitness
Three years of that, like, there's no way.
It's not just all 3 years of that, but we're learning the rule book. We're getting in game situations. We're out here calling some certain games, maybe preseason, maybe college. I don't know, but it's a three-year process, and then we take the best of the best. Boom, now we got some 24, 25-year-olds in the NFL or in high-level college. And then I don't have to see people tweet, SEC officials. Oh, these SEC officials are terrible.
People are still going to complain.
Not as much.
I think people complain more.
Yeah, they would. They would.
You need to tell me, okay.
I mean, these guys, like, if they, as soon as they get one thing wrong, they'll be like, these guys have literally had 6 years to get this right.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
Academy,
exactly.
Right, and they still can't get it right.
Guys,
exactly.
Because people aren't realizing that these guys have been officials for 30 years in the SEC and have learned over 30 years of being a veteran. You mean to tell me that you don't think?
I mean, there's a ref academy. I think that's different than just having years of experience, like,
you don't
doing
think there's
NAIA college football games.
So you don't think there's ageism in these complaints with the officials? With a lot of them?
Maybe.
Okay. That's all I'm asking. Be a
I
bit
feel like a lot of the NFL.
People.
How many of the NFL head referees are like old though?
I mean,
they might be like 50.
I mean,
Jerome Boger's like 50, right?
He looks about 50.
You think so?
I think so. I mean,
he's 66 years old. You idiots.
Black don't crack.
Can you say that? I don't think you can say that. Can you say that, Cam?
I'll allow it.
He looks 50. Just go to break and talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Hour one of Talk Sports is brought to you by the book at Harris Cherokee. Make some plans this weekend to head over. I-40 East, get up to Harris Cherokee, take advantage of their sports book, take in some college and NFL action in person with some other fellow degenerates, take advantage of their huge 90-foot screen, have all the games on up there, don't have to worry about your cable package and trying to track down the channels, pulling up ESPN Plus, oh wait, now I need Peacock, oh wait, no, I don't want to watch Notre Dame. The book at Harris Cherokee. I mean, do we need to talk about Tennessee Tech?
No. Spread came out at 41, didn't it?
Spread came out?
I'm pretty sure that's what they were talking about in the morning show this morning.
Let me see if I can find it.
41?
Yeah.
They don't have it on. Oh, hold on. Let me see.
I mean, do we care about
the game at all? I
was going
to say, I could care less.
No.
I'm not even going to care to watch it.
Like, I'm honestly not going to watch it.
I was going to say, are you guys going to watch it?
No, there's
it?
A bunch of other better 12 o'clock games.
I mean, what's the storyline here? Just like, quarterback position? Because
once
Josh Heupel told me that the quarterback situation will be fluid and change from week to week, I don't think there's much of a reason to, like, get wrapped up in the storylines from the quarterbacks because Hendon Hooker could start on Saturday, and then we could still see Joe Milton in the swamp. So, like, I mean, sure, I'd like to see what Hendon Hooker looks like, but again, it is...
The line is already out for Tennessee, Florida.
Is it?
I saw that, yeah.
I'm interested in that one. So let's see. 20 and a half.
Not quite that big.
17 and a half?
Too high.
Almost. 16 and a half.
Okay. It'll be 20 and a half by kickoff.
Tennessee plus 570 if you're feeling spicy.
So that's what it started out last year, too. It was like 16 and a half, and then it got bet down to like 13, didn't it?
Does it have the...
Or 14 and a half is what it was.
I think so.
We lost that board bet, 14 and a half. Yeah.
Does it have an over-under on there?
Mm-mm. No over-under yet.
So we are 16 and a half point dogs against Florida. That's lower than I expected. We'll see what Florida looks like. I know they're undefeated. But against Alabama, you know, they're going to get, obviously, their biggest test.
Aren't they kind of having a quarterback controversy themselves, kind of splitting reps between, Emory Jones and the other guy? I know
they've
he's like.
Playing the two guys, yeah. Richards.
Well, Richardson's a beast. Like, he's a redshirt freshman, and he comes in and is able to run around and make plays. Like, we've seen enough of Emory Jones to know he sucks. I fully anticipate Anthony Richardson to be the one that breaks our heart. Like, if you told me we were going to go up against Emory Jones the entire game, I would think Tennessee would have a chance.
So this guy's that good. This young guy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's just.
I haven't watched a second of.
He's just like
football.
Unstoppable running.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like passing, he's not great, but like running, he's just, you know.
So he'd probably run all over us.
He had like 25 plays for like 270 yards last week or something, and Emory Jones was at, it's like double the plays, like basically the same yards or something like that.
I mean, he wears number 15. He thinks he's Tim Tebow, except he is black and faster.
Yeah.
11 carries, averaging 25 yards a carry. I think was that last week or just his season stats. So maybe, I mean, both. He is. No, he's a beast. He's really good. Now we'll see what he does against Alabama. But either way, like, we're not Alabama. The best chance Tennessee has is if Alabama, you know, breaks their spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the best chance.
Yeah.
Like, if Alabama just completely beats them up and ruins both quarterbacks' confidence, has the fan base turned off, because what we do know about Florida is that they're a little bit of front runners out there in Gainesville, right? So, like, if they get embarrassed by Alabama, and it's pretty obvious that they're not going to be a championship contender, chances are they won't get up for little old Tennessee anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's your best hope of, like, staying in that game, in my opinion.
Yeah. These FCS games are so damn ridiculous, and nobody wants to watch or go to that game at all. Like, why not just schedule a less superior FBS team?
Because you got to make sure
those.
I understand you can lose, but it's like, at least it's entertaining. At least if you do win, you feel pretty good. If we beat you,
did we not just play Bowling Green? We did that.
I'm maybe like a Power Five lower team.
Oh, then we definitely lose that.
Do we not just do that with Pittsburgh?
Damn it. This FCS games are stupid, though.
I don't know, like Washington State or somebody like that.
Yeah, there's 100 FBS teams.
Yeah, man, Garantano coming here and beat us.
Oh, yeah. Think about that.
Tennessee would, oh my gosh. The meltdown from the fans would be legendary.
Throws another 400-yard game like
Garantano
he gets
shooting
Mizzou.
Out a bow and arrow at that Tennessee fans after he has thrown his third touchdown to win. Just kidding, he's already been benched. But
I thought he got hurt.
Yeah.
He got benched. Yeah. I mean, I think it was a convenient excuse to kind of move on from him, because he looked awful in the first half. But, I mean, the SEC schedule last year, the all-SEC schedule, I mean, just made these games even worse. Like, I hated them before,
right,
but I think now the prevailing opinion is just how everyone hates them now. Like, what's the benefit here? Like, is it just to get a win? Is it just to make sure Tennessee Tech is getting paid so they can keep their program? Like, do we really care about this? Will these go away when the super conferences come, like when Texas and Oklahoma get to the SEC? Will we have to suffer through most of these? Will we go to 9 conference games? I mean, that seems like a certain. Will we go to 10 conference games and just say, forget it, let's just keep doing our little mini NFL thing? Like, if the playoffs go to 16 teams or whatever, like, maybe people won't be scared of an extra loss from an extra conference game.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, like, Danny is apparently scrambling as he is, you know, now putting a focus group together to talk about the game day experience inside Neyland, to which everyone says, just win games, bro.
Literally.
And Danny's just like, I'm trying, Lisa.
Text a friend.
Sort of, kinda. Like, your focus group is just going to be everyone saying, Wi-Fi, better beer lines, win games.
Cheaper beer. Cheaper everything.
Wouldn't hurt to put the scores up during the game either, Danny.
It was something I noticed in game one.
But they always used to do that, even like when Pruitt was there.
That was my favorite part. One of my favorite parts in the 90s. I mean, I still remember the dread I was of 2016 whenever I bet on Florida State against Louisville, and the score just kept going up and up and up, and Lamar Jackson just dropped 40 points on him in the first half. I was like, what the hell is going on there?
Yeah.
I was stuck at like Tennessee versus Ohio, and I was like, what is Lamar doing? I thought Florida State was good. What happened here?
The Wi-Fi's not good enough for you to pull it up.
I didn't need to pull it up. Thank God. They just kept updating. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. It was 28-3 before I could even, like, get settled in my seat.
And then in 2016, Butch wouldn't let them put up the score of
the
LSU-Florida game.
Yeah, during the Missouri
Everybody
game.
I was at that
Why?
Game.
Why?
Because if they had lost, because whenever Florida won the game, it ruined Tennessee's chances of winning the East.
Okay.
He didn't want everybody in the crowd to be sad, and the players get dejected.
Everybody was chanting LSU, and then they lost.
Yeah.
That checks out.
I was at home watching it.
They won a quarterback sneak, didn't they?
No.
Oh, I thought Florida had ran like a quarterback sneak at the end and like got to the end at the goal line or something. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, they won the game by stopping LSU. LSU tried to run the ball.
Oh, LSU, they were on defense.
The
okay, that was it.
The goal line. LSU couldn't get in. It's a fun trip down memory lane. All right, let's play the attendance game. Hayden, what's your prediction for attendance tomorrow? Announce attendance. I'm surprised I haven't seen the scrambling from Danny White. I'm surprised there wasn't another emergency flash sale. $10 a piece.
You think he's just accepted defeat at this point?
I mean, maybe. Maybe he thinks it's more embarrassing if he does the flash sale and people still don't buy the tickets. I don't know.
Yeah.
How many season tickets do we have? Do you still have that?
It's like 53,000, basically.
Okay. Well, I'll go 67.
You think there's going to be 67,000 people there? Oh, buddy.
That's what they're announced.
Okay. Which, I mean, I feel like they've been pretty accurate with their announcements because, if you're going to lie, you got a lot better than you're saying, 80,000. You got to at least try to make it seem somewhat better. But do you think it's 67,000? Woof! Man.
It was 83,000 for the Bowling Green game on a Thursday night.
I mean, you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not arguing with your logic, obviously. I'm just 67 seems. Woof! Be the lowest in a long, 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 long time.
So y'all are saying that's too low. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's too low.
Yeah.
If you already have, again, because they're probably going to count the season tickets that are, even if they're not scanned, just count those sold.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, we're not going to break 80. It's going to be the first time we haven't broken 80 in, 10 years, I'm pretty sure.
You remember the last game?
That we didn't break 80.
Yeah.
I want to say it was, I had the number, I had the, it was Troy in 2011, maybe? I want to say maybe it was 2012.
How was that game?
One of few. That was the last time he didn't break 80, I'm pretty sure. So I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to break 70, though. I'll call it 74,000. That's sad. I think you're going to see some downsizing at Neyland soon. This is going to give the bad part is this is going to give them ammunition to be like, hey, we don't need these extra 8,000 seats. Let's make these sponsored hangout spots. Let's clear these out. Let's open this up a little bit and get people walking around. Maybe we don't need 100,000 anymore. Maybe those days are gone. Not because the fans wouldn't show up. Just maybe they're realizing, hey, we're not going to put a product on the field anytime soon that's going to warrant people coming to watch our four-hour games where we struggle to beat Pittsburgh.
Need some chair backs. That's what we need to do. Maybe not all the way around the stadium, but and then that new Jumbotron up top.
They also just need to realize most people are chubby. Most people are wider.
That's
than
facts, too.
Those seats were, in the 70s, 80s. People have...
Expanded. Older than that?
Well, that's the allotment.
Numbers, yeah.
I guess maybe. We need to... We could probably just reduce capacity just by giving people actual room to sit down. Tennessee Tech. What a stupid game. Alabama Mercer last week. That was something that needed to be played. Eventually, people get on track of my idea. Let's play Tennessee Tech in the spring. Replace the orange and white game with an actual, game.
That doesn't count, though, right?
Yeah, it doesn't count. The final it doesn't count. You can sell tickets. People would rather come watch that. You would sell more tickets doing this game in April than you would doing game on September 18th.
After a loss.
After a loss.
Yeah.
I'd say after a win, you'd sell more.
Yeah.
What does it matter if it does? What would it count for?
Nothing. Just scrimmage. You could sell tickets, sell concessions, give them to Tennessee Tech. If you're worried about propping that program up, if that's the concern of playing this, you can still cut them a check. And you could actually see what these guys look like in game situations. You'd sell at least 70,000 tickets at $10 a pop, $15 a pop, I would imagine. Maybe not. It ain't gonna be much different than it would be tomorrow. Probably gonna be less beneficial to the players too. Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. Got some updates from an NFL game, Vikings-Cardinals. As the Vikings, apparently, you don't see this often. Vikings have ruled out four players after a car accident.
Oh,
They swerved to miss a deer on the way to the facilities and wrecked. And one guy has a concussion and the other, I guess, are injured.
Oh, dear.
Don't see that often. Okay. Oh, dear. Hour two headlines coming at you.
Harris Cherokee Casino is close to home and will turn your fun road trip into an epic